Okay.
Can I ask a quick question?
It's recording.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that most of the Simon and Sadi is talking about Kaluya. Do you have a kind of first Kaluya that's saying it's so impossible to come that you're seeing the Bhima before that you say that Dham is not from before? Usually we say clear, say we think the blood that we see to something else, right? Is it possible you could say that it's so impossible to Dham that we see the Bhima from the Makor that we're saying that it's not from the Makor? For example, let's say we say that nowadays girls wear very, very tight underwear. So let's say you find a stain in the pants of the woman or in the dress of a woman. So do we have a clear saying that since we don't see any Dham on the underwear, that the Dham on the pants, on the interior of the pants, cannot be from the Makor, and therefore it's not considered a Kesem, or that's not considered not a proper use of clear?
Still not sure if I follow, so let's talk about it after. Okay. Last time we discussed machlokas haposkim as to whether a house that could theoretically be mekabel tumas nigei batim is subject to tumas ksamim, and the objection of some achronim, most notably the crazy placey, but others later as well, that obviously it can't be that a house that's mekabel tumas nigei batim could be mekabel ksamim, because that's only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have nigei batim chusars. So I speculated last time that it's conceivable that you could take the position that the definition that's relevant is a house that could be mekabel tumas nigei batim in its construction. If you have a house that's made out of etzem avanim v'afar, so it's something that physically would be able to be mekabel tumas nigei batim if it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. So even if that house is a chusar, it's a little shy to talk about it being mekabel tumas ksamim, because it's the kind of house that is susceptible to nigei batim. I didn't see anyone who says that explicitly at the time, but I found that the author of the Shari Tara does say that in Siman Kaf, as we had speculated. So you could take a look there. He has a small piece on Kesem Shenimsa al Gavei Kosa. The Shari Tara of Shlomo Zalman's nephew, Rechiel Michel Stern. Yeah?
Strange how the blood would get on the surface.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, no, okay, certainly, but how long would that be that you would have?
However happened. Okay. Rav Mendel Kasher has a thin volume entitled Ta'adam al Yareach, Man on the Moon, which he published after man landed on the moon for the first time. It was when the website HebrewBooks.org started. It started before it was a website. It was a series of CDs. Originally, the website was trying to publicize lesser-known svarim that had been published in America. So originally, they were only posting or publishing or making copies of svarim that were published in America. So when they initially had a website, the feature on the homepage of the website was that they reproduced Ta'adam al Yareach of Kasher's work. So he has a chapter there in which he argues with the following suggestion, and this is relevant to the even less lemaisa question as to whether a kli fashioned from lunar material would be mekabel tumah and therefore mekabel tumas ksamim. So the person that he's arguing on, whose name he doesn't quote, had the following analysis of Mishnah and Kalim. The Mishnah and Kalim, Perek Yizayin, Mishnah Yudalid, tells us yesh b'mesh nivra b'yom harishon tumah. So the Mishnah goes through things that were created in the 6 days of creation, last week's sedra. So things that are created on the first day are subject to tuma. V'sheni ein bo tuma, v'shlishi yesh bo tuma, v'rvi b'chamishi ein behem tuma. So the person that Rav Kasher is chalik on understood what's found in the Mishnah v'sheni ein bo tuma, v'rvi b'chamishi ein behem tuma. So just like Bayom Harisho, it means that if you fashion a kli out of the ground, it could be mekabel tuma. If you fashion a kli out of material from the sun, moon, stars, it would not be makabel tuma. So this wasn't relevant for many millennia, but now it's relevant. If you were to fashion a kli from lunar material, then it wouldn't be makabel tuma because of this Mishnah. And if Kasher thinks that's not shown in the Mishnah, it's not talking about kalim that are made from lunar material, it's talking about whether the moon itself could be makabel tuma. I'm not fully sure why that has to be. He thinks that's how well the Mefarshim understood, but I'm not sure what Mefarshim he's referring to. And then he says, in any way, so you'll understand that that which is created on day four, so that's referring to lunar material, you can't make a kli of that, that's makabel tuma. So what do you mean, something that's created on day two? From the rakia, what's the shayach to fashion something for the rakia? He says, maybe he'll tell me he's talking about a meteorite, but meteorites are really made out of avanim, and that it's not really celestial material in that sense, so it's a kli evan. Kli evan's on makabel tuma anyway. Okay, that's his analysis. And then he says, what would be the status if you have afar min hayareach? So he thinks that he has the following raya, that there fundamentally isn't a difference between lunar dust and earth dust, that afar levan is metame just like afar aretz. He quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bereishis, and even that which is created by Shemayim is made with earthly material. Just like rain, even though it falls on, it comes from Shemayim, but rain is made of earthly material. So anything in Shemayim is really made of earthly material. So he says that halakhically, lunar dust is the same as earth dust, so if you were to fashion a material out of lunar dust, it would be makabel tuma. So that's machlokas between Rav Kasher and his anonymous cholik, as to whether if you were to fashion a kli from lunar material, it would be makabel tuma, and that presumably would have relevance for tumas ksamim as well. Yeah.
If the way he understands the moon not being tame, is that the entirety of the moon can't be tame,
right?
Would that mean that
it can't be makabel tuma? Yeah.
Well, could be. Yeah, can the Earth planet be makabel tuma?
The what?
I mean, like the, but Earth was created on the second day, right?
Right.
So
the Earth was created on the first. Well, the first day.
Oh.
Well, no.
Okay.
I
was saying first and third, right?
Right.
So can. If, like, the analog is the moon, then the Earth can be makabel tuma, like all of it?
So, it depends on the material. The karka in general, karka is not makabel tuma, but there could be some natural material which fashioned in a certain way is makabel tuma. It doesn't mean it's always makabel tuma, it means that it's shy to be makabel tuma under certain circumstances. But let's move on from that. Okay. The Rama over here in Se'if Yud quotes the following. Chaver wrote again, Kesem Shinim Sal Zavra She'enim Makabal Tuma Lo Gazulav Kesa Baka Karka Olam Ezer Amam O Beis HaKisei She'enim Makabal Tuma O Kalavra She'enim Makabal Tuma V'yashel HaMatzibu Kesem is Tahora. So Beis HaKisei is not Makabal Tuma, and that's what we know the last time some Akronim say the Shofan Acharav has this. So you see from the Ramah that clearly he's not worried about Tumas Negei Batim because the Beis HaKisei should be subject to Tumas Negei Batim. Fine. So the Ramah is quoting a Mordechai B'Shem HaSmag VaSmak, and the Agos Maimonides has this from the Smak as well. The Agos Maimonides is Perek Tes Halacha Hei. Perek Tes Halacha Hei. Lashon Hagos Maimonides B'Shem HaSmak is as follows. And the Mordechai is in Simon Tuf Shin Lamed Hay in Hilchas Nid as well. Same, basically the same formulation. Again, Lagos Maimni Paritas Lacha Hay. The Mordechai in the middle of Simon Tuf Shin Lamed Hay, which is a very long Simon of the Mordechai. Again, Hilchas Nid and the Mordechai sprint in the back of the Gemara Shavuos. So they both have the following: Huadin in Nimsa Dam Al Beis HaKisei Sheyashva Alav. That if there's Dam on the Beis HaKisei, then that's not Mekabel Tumas Ksamim. The the formulation on the smack himself, and the way we have it printed in the smack, is chen bedaf shel beis hakise. I was just wondering, what beis hakise are we talking about? Meaning, the medieval beis hakise, as I understand it, and the historians here will correct me if I'm wrong, most typically, to the extent that there was a medieval beis hakise, the kli, so to speak, of record was a chamber pot. The chamber pot is not mechubar lekarka, and it would be moved from place to place. It would be moved out to empty. So the nobility may have had something more analogous to our beis hakise, with some kind of a wooden plank and then a hole underneath that the waste could go through and then go somewhere to be collected. But the rank and file use chamber pots. So if that's true, what are we talking about is not Makabel Tuma? Who had the Nimsal Dan Beis Hakise Sheyashva Lav? I'm not sure. I don't think it was Mechubar Lekarka. It was moved around. Yeah? I'm sorry? In the context, whether the Ramos putting this in the context of Karka Olam, so it sounds like the issue is Karka Olam and Mechubar Lekarka.
It was like a bucket? There's something that gets moved
out? That's what I thought. So I don't know.
Maybe.
You can, I'm not sure. Meaning, even the Lashon of the Gos Maimini and the Mordechai, Nimsa Dam al Beis Hakise, I throw this little lavdafka. Beis Hakise is the room. So we're not talking about Dam on the walls of the Beis Hakise, because I don't think that's what he means.
I'm assuming.
Dafshal Beis Hakise is definitely not talking about the wall. So I'm not sure. Yeah.
I'm not a history expert either, but when I looked this up, it said that many poor people in medieval times would dig pits and then they'd put planks of wood on top with a hole in it.
Many poor people?
Yeah, like if you couldn't afford a fancy toilet. But it wasn't a chamber pot, like they'd just put a wooden board on top of a pit.
So the little research I did, it sounded like that was more what the nobility did, but you're telling me that that's what the Amonam did.
Right.
Okay, so we have to research this a little bit more. Even... And that's something that wouldn't move? That would be Mechubar Lekarka?
Yeah, I presume.
Is this based on whatever you see on the internet right now? Right? You don't have to show me.
It's based on, I have this picture over here. I have a little pit, and
So read a little bit more as to whether that was the most common form or that was something that they had in the castles. Okay, but if you have any more serious research to do afterwards... you can let me know. I don't consider myself an expert on this either. If that's the case, and that's what we're talking about, and that was more Beninsa, so I understand better, that could be Mechubar Lekarka. And then that would be the daf shel beis hakise of the smak. Right, the smak doesn't have to be saying this would everyone have, but if you have a daf shel beis hakise, so that wooden plank over the hole, over the pit, if that's meant to be, that's essentially Mechubar Lekarka, or Meshamish Karka, then that would be, that would make sense. Okay, good. So, maybe we'll go with that. Yeah?
Our bathrooms are for sure considered in a kabbalah, right? Because everything's attached to the building.
You mean a toilet?
Yes.
Yes. Right. They didn't have toilets in medieval times, but our toilets, the Ramah is definitely not talking about a toilet, but yeah, at least as we know it. Definitely not a one of running water. But yes, so those are all firmly connected to the Grand Mechabel Tumah. Rabbi Sobolovsky points out if you have a toilet on an airplane, that would be Mechabel Tumah because it's not Mechubar Lekarka.
What about an RV?
I mean,
the airplane itself.
An RV is on the ground, so that's probably sufficiently... If at the moment it's not going anywhere, it's on the ground, that may be mechubar enough.
I'm connected to the airplane on his point.
But the airplane is that's off the ground.
No, but
the airplane is in Karka.
It's Mavzik Arba himself.
You think the airplane is Mavzik Arba himself?
Yeah.
So if you have
a cleat that's mechubar, something that's
have to look into that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Just to keep us in context, if we're done with found on a toilet, wouldn't we possibly exempt it from a chasm, since we'd be quite sure that through the urination process she missed her heart.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that soon. But for our purposes, we were talking about Stam. The Dam flew and ended up somewhere on the, not in the toilet, somewhere on the toilet or on the side. And that's the relevance over here. Okay. If you have Dam that's inside the water of a toilet, again, leaving aside the issue of Dam Bahashtana, which we'll have to talk about, it'll be the next major sugya. But Stam, not in the context of Ashtana, you find, or the simpler analysis, and not in the context of Ashtana, you find Dam in the toilet. So that's a discussion among some of the contemporary tshuvas. The Abezina Papa, who we quoted last time as having squashed a cockroach in his Gemara in the country in the summer, sent the Shaila both to Mayor Bransdorfer and to Diane Weiss, who take opposing positions. The Shaila really is whether water in that context is a Kabbal Tumma. That's an analysis I'm not going to spend time on now. In the Chuvas Kenei Bosem, Mayor Bransdorfer, B'nei Brak, Chela Bei Simen Nun Hei, Chela Bei Simen Nun Hei has an Arichas on this topic. I think 14 sections or more. And he ends up being note de la Hachmir, and Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Test, Simen Sadi Gimel, Chela Test, Simen Sadi Gimel, is Makel. Rabbi Willick thought that you could be Makel on the Shaila as well, of a Dam that's found in the water of a toilet bowl. The Dark Yitzhuva quotes the following in Sifatin and Zayin about a woman who was Mekaneach with Sheleg, and given that Sheleg is snow is not Mekabel Tuma, so that wouldn't be Mekabel Tuma's son. The first part of the Shaf that we quoted last time, Sivkat and Tesayin, the second part discussed Tumas Negam. The first part he writes the following: Shaf Sivkat and Tesayin. The Chayin Afilu Minshu Mekabel Tuma, Ella Sheshi Ura Garam Lo. If you have the kind of a kli that would fundamentally be mekabel tuma, but you don't have a shear that's mekabel tuma, could go matlis cheembo gimel al gimel kedeisa b'shas. That's what we have in our sugi here on Sam Lachami Beis. If you have a matlis, if you have a patch that isn't gimel al gimel, it's both. It's not mekabel tuma. So if you have a beged which is of the material that would be mekabel tuma, but it's less than a shear to be mekabel tuma, then it's not Mekabel Tumas Samim either. So to understand that, you have to know a little bit about, or a lot, about Taros. I forgot to bring the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Parakaf Beis of Kalim as follows. Kamashir Habeged Lehistame Shlosh etvachem ashlosh etvachem lemedris. So the shear to mekabel tumas medris for begadim is 3x3 tvachim. Shalosh etzbos al shalosh etzbos mechuvanos imam alal l'tumas hameis l'shar tumas. For other tumas other than tumas medris, the shear is gimel al gimel etzbos. That's gimel al gimel etzbos. So chayim na gimel etzbos is 2.36 inches. Chazanish 2.83 inches, a little under 3 inches. Parenthetically, the Chazon Ish writes in the Kuntrasei HaShiurim in his Chibur on Shiurim, which is printed as Simen Lamates of the Chazon Ish and Arachayim, Simen Lamates Os Tesvav, Simen Lamates Os Tesvav. So the Chazon Ish there writes that whenever his Shiurim end up creating a Kula and a Din Daraisa, it's Ra'i Lahachmir. See, even though the Chazon Ish argues in the calculations of Shiurim in general, he says when it comes to a Din D'Oraisa, you should be Machmir, where the smaller shear ends up being a Chumrah. Chazon Ish's Shiurim are bigger. So if they have the smaller shear, if the Chazon Ish ends up being a Kula, so it's Ro'i Lahachmir and D'Oraisas. Now, some of them are not deraisas. But nevertheless, I saw in the Sefer Chol Guzman, he quotes someone else who quotes Meshem, Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Osner, that when it comes to Ksamim, even though Ksamim are the Rabbanan, still, you should be machmir for the smaller shear against the Chazanish. So even if in general we're machmir for shear Chazanish, we're here, it ends up being a kula, even though we're talking about a Rabbanan, you should be machmir for Chaim Naz, shear, and in Hilchos Tzom. So, yeah.
Just go over the centimeter, or
I'm working in inches.
Yeah,
Chaim Naz is 2.36 inches, 2. And the 2.36, and the Chazanish is 2.83. Well, let's go back to the Rambam. So Rambam writes that the shear for a baguette for Tumas Madras is Gimel Gimel Tafim. The shear for other Tumas is Gimel Gimel Etzbaos. That's talking about Samra Pishtim. Aval the Gadim shall shar minin ein mekablin tuma mikola tumas. LMK Hayabahan Gimel Tvachma Gimel Tvachma Yoser. But when it comes to other materials are only mekabel tuma across the board if they have a shear of Gimel Tvachim al Gimel Tvachim. So Samra Pishtim is Gimel Etzbos al Gimel Etzbos. Shar Begadim is Gimel Tvachim al Gimel Tvachim. But then he writes, B'medvar Memurim B'kra'im in a Begadim. What are we talking about? These are the Mishnayos in Kalim, in, I think it's Perek of Zion. B'medvar Memurim B'kra'im in a Begadim. So this is talking about where you had a larger baguette, and then you ripped off, or part of that baguette ripped, and now we have a piece of an original baguette. So if we're talking about the piece of an original baguette, then the shear is gimel, gimel, tvachim for shar begadim, other materials, and gimel, gimel, etzbos for tzemer pishtim. Aval, ha-oreg baguette b'fnei atzmo, kol shehu, ha-reza mekabel shar tumos, kutz mitumos medris, jay mekabel sa'el ha-regla medris. But if you are oreg, if you weave a baguette from scratch, it's not that you had a larger baguette and cut off a piece of it or it ripped. You're weaving a baguette from scratch, so then the shear is a kol shehu. Even less than gimel etzbos, it sounds like both for tzemer pishtim and shar minin as well. If you're weaving a baguette from scratch, then the shear is a kol shehu. That's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kaf Vav and Aleph on the bottom. So if that's the case, it should be that the whole relevance of this shach is only for something that was ripped off of a larger baguette. If I started with a larger baguette and ripped off a portion that's less than gimel, gimel, espos, or gimel, gimel, tvachim, and then you have a kesem that falls on that ripped piece of the baguette, it won't be mekabel tuma. But if I have a baguette that was originally created, woven with a smaller shear, is still going to be Mekabel Tumah. Gimel al Gimel Tfachim for Shar Minin, Gimel al Gimel Espos for Tzemer Vishnu. One second. Now, Matlis may be different. Matlis is a patch. So there, the Gemara says on Samach Hamad Beis, Amar Abayim, the Tara Havet, Rabbi Nechemia Bibat Lonios, She'ein Behen Shalosh Al Shalosh, Rabbi Nechemia was Metaher, Mitumas Tzomim, a patch that didn't have three by three etzbos. The Lochazi and Lolaniim, the Lolashirim, because it's not functional for anyone. And Adi at least could use a 3x3 etzba matlis as a patch to patch up a bega, patch up a larger garment. But less than 3x3 is not functional. So it could be this din of matlonis is if you have something that is maybe if you were oreg a beged b'kol shehu, but that beged has absolutely no function, maybe it wouldn't be mekabel tuma because that's like matlonis. Latosis does write over here matlonis shemen gimel gimel Halakhalo Parah Pshita Kamal Le'el. Why does the Gemara say Pasha, that lesson 3 L3 is not Makabal Ksamim? Because the Gemara in Zvachim Tzadi Dalet is Mashma. De'i Chashav Alay V'yichta Makabal Ntumah. That if you're Machshiv, lesson Gimel Gimel, it's both for some purpose, then it's Makabal Tumah. So maybe our Gemara's Kamashval is that's not true. Although Rebbe Eger points out here, Tosis in Sukkah seems to say, La'alacha, that is true, that if you're Machshiv, even less than Gimel Gimel, it's both, it will be Mekabel Tumma. It's relevant for Schach in the Sukkah context. So it could be, one second Benji, it could be that Matlis is different. But based on what we're saying so far, it sounds like, in general, if you have a Kli, let's say of Sharmin and even less than Gimel Gimel Tvachim, it could be Mekabel Tumma. Benji.
Yeah, I just want to understand. What the Shach's teaching us is that if you have something that's a Dovish Mekabel Tumma, and then, let's say, part of it ripped off, I'm trying to connect the understanding to that Mishnah.
Even something which is Mekabel Tumma as far as its material, if it's not the shear, that's Mekabel Tumma, it's not Mekabel Tumma Ksamen. If I have material that is liable to be Mekabel Tumma, but it's less than a shear to be Mekabel Tumma, then it's not Mekabel Tumma Ksum, then you have the coolest of Ksum. Okay, now.
So what's the Maskana about the
Torah? No Maskana's yet. Rav Avadya writes the following, page Tuf Aleph, Tuf Beis, that this distinction in the Rambam between Tzemer Pishtim and other Begadim, that by Tzemer Pishtim the Shear is in Etzbos, but by Shar Minim the Shear is in Tvachim, that should be dependent on the Machlokas Rishonim, which is a Machlokas Mechaber Ramah, Lahalacha, whether Min HaTorah, a Begad of Shar Minim is Chayiv in Tzitzis. So if a Begad of Shar Minim is Chayiv in Tzitzis Min HaTorah, so then we should be treating Shar Minim like Tzemer Pishtim as far as Shi'urei Tumah as well. And if the requirement of Tzitzis Min HaTorah is limited to Tzemer Pishtim, so then it makes sense that there's a difference in Hilchos Tumah as well between Tzemer Pishtim and Shar Minim. So that's Machlokas Mechaber Ramah in Hilchos Tzitzis, right? According to the Mechaber, Min HaTorah only Chayiv in Tzitzis if it's Tzemer Pishtim. According to the Ramah, Shar Minim are Chayiv as well. So Rabbi said in Hilchos Ksamim, even the Ramah should agree that even the Ramah should agree in Hilchos Ksamim that even though in Hilchos Tzitzis Shar Minim are Chayiv in Tzitzis, but you could be Mako for the Shear of Shar Minim in Hilchos Ksamim because by Ksamim we go Lukula. So he says even you Ashkenazim should be Mako like the Sephardi position as far as its relevance to Tumas Ksamim in the Shear of a Begad.
Why?
Because by Ksamim, we go Lagula.
Oh, so we should.
So even the Ramah should agree in Hilchos Ksamim that by Shar Minim, the Shear should be in Tvachim and not in Esbos. But again, according to what we're saying so far, this only should be relevant if I have a section of a Begad where the Begad originally was more than a shear becomes less than a shear, but if I create a Begad from scratch that is even less than the shear of Etzba'os or Etzvachim, as long as it's a functional Begad, that should be sufficient to be Mekabel Tumma. So The next halacha in Rambam, we just read Kuf Beis Aleph, and the Rambam Kuf Beis Beis has the din of levadim. That's a mishnah later on that parak in Kalim. The levadim is felt. So the mishnah there says, this is what the Rambam quotes halacha, that even though in general the shear, this is a little bit embellishment of the mishnah, even though in general the shear for shar minim is in tvachim, even though in general the shear for tzemer pishtim is in etzbos, when it comes to levadim, when it comes to felt, the mishnah says if it's thicker than average or thinner than average, if the processing of the wool, or the tzemer pishtim, the processing of the material is thicker or thinner than normal, then there's no din of gimel al gimel etzbos. So felt is the way felt is processed is it's not woven like other fabric. It's kind of clumped together in a thicker way. You can look at your computers and tell me better than I can how you do it. So that's what the Mishnah means, that it's thicker than the usual processing of a beged, because there's no weaving process, there's no loom, there's no shesiv arif. So if you have levadim, if you have felt, so then there's no din of gimel, gimel, it's bos. Sounds like the shear should be gimel, gimel, tvachim. So Rama writes out lalacha perikof gimel, perikof beis, halacha beis, that by levadim the shear is gimel, gimel, tvachim, not gimel, gimel, it's bos. Rama says by nikra, if that's talking about if you have a beged of felt that was ripped into a smaller piece, so it's still going to be a mekabel tuma. It will be a mekabel tuma as long as it has gimel al gimel tvachim, even if it doesn't have gimel al gimel etzvos. Right, the shear for felt to be mekabel tuma if you rip a piece off a larger beged is gimel al gimel tvachim, not gimel al gimel etzvos. Good.
And if you make it.
If it's ripped off, nikra.
Right. So you need more gimel tvachim.
Then you need gimel gimel tvachim, right?
And it's not ripped
sounds
off.
Sounds like if it's not ripped off, the shear would be gimel gimel tvachim.
Even though it's tzemer pishtim.
Even though it's...
For when it's ripped off, you need the larger shear. That's the point. Is that gimel tzemer pishtim is provided?
Tzemer pishtim in general, if it's ripped off, the shear is gimel gimel tvachim. Levadim, the shear is gimel gimel tvachim. Now, so Rabbi Karr quotes the following, which I'm trying to understand in light of everything we just said. Actually, before that, he quotes the Lashon Rambam, so I'll just read the Lashon Rambam halacha beis. Habegadim ha'avim biyoser, thicker garments, kegon ha'levadim, v'hanimatim ha'kashim, oh, have begun with rakim biyoser. Eina mekabel tuma, ad sheyeh bekera, until you have in the rip part, gimel tvachim al gimel tvachim, bein lemedus, bein l'shar tumas. Okay, ramen perikav beis, kelim alacha beis. Yeah.
So the only finish we added is that by non-semer pishtim, we just go by 3 minutes each time for what's ripped
off. The only finish that who
is?
Right, the din of levadim is that even though it's semer pishtim, but the shear is gimel al gimel tvachim, not gimel al gimel tvachim.
And why was that?
Because it's a thicker material, it's a thicker construction than the standard one. Why does the thickness make a difference? Well, I think the answer to that will lie in why there's a difference between tzemer pishtim and shar minim.
Well, like we said before, it doesn't only have the guy with their eyes that go to them.
Right. No, is that a sim or is that a SIBA? Not sure. Not sure. Okay. The Rabbi Karp writes the following Perek Gimel Se'if Yudalit. Quotes this Rambam. He says, Rav Yashiv said, that nowadays the way katan is processed, so many posts can say the katan is not makabel tuma. The Avnei Nezer has half a line like that. He posts here from the Alter Rebbe who says that, although he couldn't find the Alter Rebbe inside. The katan is not makabel tuma. Rav Yashiv said, nowadays, the way katan is processed, it's more analogous to levadim. So it should have the same status as levadim. I'm sorry?
Both of those would be 3 by 3 tefah.
What do you mean?
Whether if it's Eino Kabel Tumah, then it would be 3 by 3.
If Eino Kabel Tumah, it's Eino Kabel Tumah at all.
Oh, okay.
So some of the earlier Rav would say that Kahn is not a Kabel Tumah, would say Kahn is not a Kabel Tumah at all. Okay? The question of Yashiv, nowadays, the way Kahn is processed, I don't know too much more about how Kahn is processed and how Fell is processed. Nowadays, the way Kahn is processed, it should have the status of Levadim, should be subject to Tumas Levadim. And even though, he quotes in the Chubas Chasam Sofer, that Tumas Levadim is only relevant if it's used as a baguette, but if it's used for other functions, like for paper, then it doesn't have Tumas Levadim. But if you have cotton, so if you have cotton that's used for other functions, it would have been Makabel Tumah. But if you have a pad, and the pad is made out of cotton, so its only function is as a pad, then it should be Makabel Tumah midin levadim. And then he says, if that's so, that you see from the Rambam that levadim are only Makabel Tumah if they have a shear of gimel tvachim or gimel tvachim, not less. So if you have a pad made out of cotton, it's only going to be Makabel Tumah if it has a shear gimel tvachim al gimel tvachim. Then he goes to Rav Yashiv, a big chumrah, that if a woman's going to put the pad inside her garment, so then it's batel to the baguette. The makabel tumah kedin have baguette, because the fact that it's adhering to the baguette is like it's sewn together. And he tried to argue with Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv didn't give in. He thought that in that case it's considered, even if it's not connected in any real way, but it's just there in the baguette, that's considered ketafor, and it would be makabel tumah midin the baguette. But leaving that chumra aside, fundamentally the way he presents this is that if you have a pad, even if you'll assume that the material could be makabel tumah, But it's only going to be Mekabel Tumah if it has a shear of Gimel Tvachim El Gimel Tvachim. So, based on our analysis, if the pad was created as such and functions as it functions, then why is the shear of Gimel Tvachim relevant? And the shear of Gimel Tvachim, the way we said, is only relevant for a baggage and Nikra. Unless somehow a pad is different because it's not really a baggage. That's not how he presents it. So I'm not sure about that application of Gimel Tvachim or Gimel Tvachim. I have to think about that some more.
That's for a common pad.
That's for a common pad.
Is that some phenomenon that's frequent?
I'm sorry?
Do they have common pads for it?
Yeah. Okay, so we have to think about that some more.
Wouldn't it not matter if it's originally made
in that size?
It's originally made in that size anyway.
Right.
So wouldn't it have to be shy from the
shear? Right. That's what I'm asking. Right, that's what I understand.
Oh, that's the
kash. That's what I understand, correct. Okay. Now, it could be, it won't be the kabbalah for other reasons. It could be that it's disposable. And we'll see shortly that disposable things may not be the kabbalah. So there could be other reasons that it's not the kabbalah. But that analysis that it fundamentally is material, it should be the Kabbalah Tumah, but it's not because it's less than Gimel Tvachim, I'm missing something in that explanation. Okay, a little behind schedule. Let's talk a little bit about paper. So you saw the Piskei Tshuva here, who quotes a machlokas between the Nod Yehuda and the Sidrei Tara about whether paper is the Kabbalah Tumah. Piskei Tshuva here in Sipkat and Yod Ches. The Nod Yehuda is in Yoredeya Tinyana Simen Kofei. Yerdeya Tinyana Simen Kuf Hei, where the Shoel wanted to distinguish between the old kind of paper and the new kind of paper. New kind of paper in the 1700s, where the old kind of paper was papyrus, made out of grass or the like, and the newer kind of paper was made out of linen, cotton, heap, some materials that were processed to make it into paper, as opposed to the post-Nod Yehuda paper beginning in the 19th century where they make paper out of wood pulp or that kind of material. But the Shoel wanted to say in one direction, and then the Nod Yehuda says, v'nahapachu, that if you have paper made out of grass, so then that's not subject to Tumas Negayim. But if you have paper made out of linen and cotton, or pishtim and tzeder, so then that is metame b'tumas negayim, and it should be mekabel tumas summit. So the bottom line of the Yehuda assumes that paper is mekabel tumas summit, tinyana simen kufei. Sidrei Tara argues.
We're talking about his paper, we're talking about.
You're talking about 18th century paper.
Which is cotton.
Which is made out of linen. Well, he says semra pishtim, so I guess he's assuming linen, but apparently paper then was processed from linen, cotton, materials of that sort. But he presents it as linen. So he says that is going to be Mekabel Tumah. The Sidrei Tara argues that even if it's true that our material is made out of pishtim, and pishtim is Mekabel Tumah, but Panim Chadoshes Bolokan is processed in such a way that it bears no resemblance to the original material, and therefore it's not a material that is Mekabel Tumah. So most poskim assume, or many poskim assume, lakul on this, that paper is not mekabel tuma. If you look in Rav Avadia, Taras Abayis of Katan Yud, in his chapter on Samim, Perek Gimel, so he quotes a whole list of achronim who are mako. This is most relevant to toilet paper. Usually you won't find the kesem on a piece of writing paper, but you may find the kesem may find on toilet paper. So Moshe writes, Chela Gimel Simen Nun Gimel, Chela Gimel Simen Nun Gimel, that even though in theory he would support the Nod Yehuda's assertion that paper could be Mekabel Tumah based on the material that it comes from, but he writes, our paper is so thin and could never be processed from its paper form to be Roy L'Tashmish. So it's not roi for anything. He says it kikarua umushkas mishum tashmish shogarmi. It is utterly destroyed and removed from any functionality. Shavade eno shum mekabel tuma. So he agrees with the conclusion of the Siddur Tara, if for other reasons. Not because Panim Chadash is Tolokan, but in theory, if you had processed Pishtan in a functional form that could be used as a kli, Ramosha would say it could be Mekabel Tumah. But here, it is so far removed from any real functionality as a kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah. He says, even the original poskim, we're not talking about our paper, the kol shekein, not toilet paper, which both is nowhere near functional in any kli capacity, and elsewhere, Moshe writes, is also disposable. He writes similar things in O.C. Dalit in his Tshuva to Rabbi Eilert. So that's what most contemporary poskim assume, that paper and the specific application that's relevant is toilet paper, is not mekabel tuma. Nevertheless, there are other issues at play. If a woman were to see a kesem on toilet paper after kinuach, number one, if it's in the context of hashtana, so then you have to deal with the sugya of haro adam hashtana, which we'll get to. Are we concerned that maybe argashel avadaita, that if the kinuach was at the time that she was matu meiraglayim, so maybe there was a mass targasha, and maybe we have to be concerned about that as well. So as far as that issue, the Chavistas, Simen Kuvtzadi Os Aleph, the Chavistas is mafmir where the kinuach is within a shiur vest, within esyom, if it's immediately. What's considered immediately after the hashtana, after the atalas meiraglayim, what's considered immediately? The Chavistas doesn't give you an exact shear. Rav Vosner, in the Shear of Shevet Levi here, says, hard to be nako if the kinuach happened within a minute of the hashtana. A minute's a long time. That if it's less, if it's more than a minute, b'shas hatchak, there's what to be nako with that. Rabbi Forth points out, Chapter 9, footnote 48. That the Shevet Levi's minute is a little difficult to understand because this is based on the shear of Esyom, of shear vest, is based on how much time does it take to do a bedikah, skor and socket. That's sitting in Alifir later in our simon. So it doesn't take anywhere near a minute to do bedika, maybe half a minute. So he's not sure where the minute comes from. But Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva to Rabbi Eider Os Yud Gimel that in the normal circumstance where a woman is mekaneach after hashtana, so unless she's rushing because there's a screaming baby or there's a pot that's about to burn and she needs to rush out of the bathroom, unless she's rushing, so the normal amount of time between when the hashtana stops and she is and does the kinuach is enough of a time that we shouldn't be concerned about Dilma Argashev Lavadaita. And the other poskim are never worried that maybe we're not kosher at all for this concern. We'll have to talk about this more when we get to Dan Hashtana in this context. One second. The other issue here of relevance that you have to figure out is what's the status of the kinuach relative to bedika. So, kinuach, it begins in the same place that the bedika begins. It doesn't go as far as the bedika, but do we need to be concerned that a kinuach may have the status of a bedika? If it's a bedika, so then there are no kulach summons. Kulach summons is only if it's a kesem that appears, not if you do a bedika. So, Moshe is makel here as well, Os Tev Zayin. He assumes that since the kinuach is not limited to osamakom, the kinuach covers areas outside of the vaginal area as well, so then you don't have to be concerned that this kinuach is a bedika. Rav Karp quotes this from Eliyashiv as well. Perek Gimel Sif Zayin. Eliyashiv is make on this detail as well. even though the Siddur Vitar is Machmir, Siddur Vitar is Katan and Zion, Siddur Vitar and Zion, the second paragraph, but Rabbi Karp says that the later post can don't quote the Siddur Vitar Lalafa, so you don't have to be concerned about that. Just hold off on questions so we can finish up and then we can talk afterwards. So in principle, many poskim, as we said, are makel on toilet paper not being the kabel tuma. And if push comes to shove in a situation where you do find a kabel on toilet paper, you have to analyze the various issues we raised, but there is one to be makel. But nevertheless, poskim do recommend using colored toilet paper anyway, because then you don't have to get on to the issue of whether it's makabel tumah, because it could be makel because it's sivonim as well, at least on the, leaving aside the kinuach and the argish of levadite issue, but as far as the material, so you're better off using colored toilet paper as well. And as Rav Vosner writes over here, and Rabbi Willig always says, the most important piece of advice to women is not to look. That most of the problems are caused by people who are looking at the toilet paper or in the bowl who have no need and no business looking. If you look, you create problems. So in the Chok Zman over here, he quotes here at the end of Perek Beis, he says, Rav Yosha's position, I'm not sure where else this is recorded, but Rav Yosha's position was that a woman should always look at the toilet paper to check whether there's dam, except for the first days after tefillah when you don't have to be choshesh. But Rav Moshe writes, the very last Tshuva Rabbi Eider, number kafes, no need to look at the kinuach. Chazal told us when you need bedikos, so you don't have to do more bedikos than that. And there is no maila in bimarba bedikos beyond that, and you just create problems. That's what Rav Vosner writes here as well. And he quotes Deborah Tziner, who said that his father told women never to look at the toilet paper, and Deborah Tziner himself would tell women to turn off the lights in the bathroom so that they won't be tempted to look. And he quotes the Av Bezdin of Skver, who was very adamant that women shouldn't look. And Rav Vosner writes, Chayla Dalasim and Kuv Zayin. Yeah, when it says that Isha Shemarba Livdo, that's laudable. That's talking about a real bedika where you need to be mevar, whether she's tahora. But to look at the toilet paper, that's not Bechlau Kalamarba Livdo Mishabachas. That's a kilko Shalol Tzorach. And you're just creating problems. The reason women look is that they're nervous, they shouldn't be nervous, and you shouldn't look.
Why would it fall into a Harizem Shuba? Call Marbalivdog.
Call Marbalivdog is where there's a Shiloh better Tara status, so then you can do a Bidika. Here there's no Shiloh. Right? So you're just looking for problems by looking.
And I'm also, why would...
I just want to finish up, sorry. The postum also discuss whether synthetic material is makabel tumah. So what Dayan Weiss here is machmir, minchas yitzvah cheladal sim kuf yuches. He assumes that any material used to form a beged, if it's a functional beged, is makabel tumah. But most poskim disagree. The Mishnah Kalim Paragizai Mishnah Yogimel says Kol Shebiyam Tahor, anything that is created from material from the sea is not Mekabel Tumah. That's the Rambam writes Parag Alpha Lachu Gimel of Kalim. Kalim Asuyim Me Atzamos Paya Shebiyam Umi Ore Tahorim. Kalim fashioned from the bones of sea animals are not Mekabel Tumah. So Moshe writes, Chela Gimel Simenum Gimel, Moshe is makel by nylon that's made out of oil derivatives, because in order to be makabel tumah, it has to be something that's from natural yabasha material, sea material is not dafka sea material, but it's anything that's not naturally grown. Sosin's Rifle Yashir, Kovis Tshuva, Skalik Aleph, Sipid Aleph in the Tzitzis context. That synthetic material is not Chayiv in Tzitzis, because in the Torah, because it's not the Chlal Hagadil Ba'aretz.
That's Mesh, right?
I'm sorry?
Mesh is synthetic.
Mesh is. Isn't it Kavim?
Mesh
is
not Kavim?
You can get it in
cotton. Okay, I don't know. I thought it was cotton, but maybe wrong. Fine. Rav Avadya writes this way as well, pages Tav Zayin to Tav Tes, and he says he remembers that he spoke to Rav Yashu about this 20 years ago, and Rav Yashu was masking to him that synthetic materials are not Mikavil Tuma. Okay, the next time we'll talk about Sivonim, and as I indicated in the Marma Kombos, if you could just, after Sifyud, run through the rest of the Simon, just Mechaper and Moshach. We'll make a few observations, but since most of that is not terribly Lamaisa, due to time constraints, we're not going to spend much time on the rest of the Simon. And the next Sugyo, which we'll get to sometime next week, hopefully, is Dan Bashtana, Simon Kuf, Tadi Aleph.
So on Monday we're going to
do Sivonim and maybe finish up a little bit. Right. Fine permits. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got off the questions. Yes.
So just checking a larger area.